Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I remember when Smith Wigglesworth had a visitor. It was Lester Sumrall. And when Lester Sumrall came over to see Smith Wigglesworth, and Smith Wigglesworth was just a powerfully used man of God. He was a plumber called by God that just, you know, massive healings and just everything. So you wonder, you know, what does he do in his private time? Obviously, you know, so many people think, you know, why don't you, you know, go do this? It's like, there's nothing greater than doing what we're doing. I mean, why would there be something else? I mean, like, what? And so he comes over with a newspaper up under his arm, and he's going in there to visit Smith Wigglesworth at his house. And Smith Wigglesworth tells him right up front, he points at him and says, "What's that under your arm?" And it was a newspaper. And he said, "You can't bring that in this house." And so he took it and he threw it in the bushes. And he went in there and he had a meal with Smith Wigglesworth, somebody that was used powerfully by God. And you know what he did? He pulled out his Bible and he read scripture. Mm-hmm. And when he finished reading scripture, he goes, "That's it. It's been nice spending time with you. You got to do this again sometime."
Wow.
Because it's all about God.
Yeah.
It really is. We're going to spend eternity.
Yeah.
And our eternity is going to be based on what we're doing now. What are you going to do for him now?
Yeah. You're talking about Smith Wigglesworth. You know, there was an account, a story that's been told about of his life. You know, he had a powerful ministry, and talking about the church moving in power. This is a man who knew God, walked with God. And people would sit down. He'd be at a train station sitting down, and people would sit next to him. And they would feel such conviction. They would look at him and say, "Your presence just convicts me. Like, who are you?" You know, mm-hmm. This deep conviction. But there's an account of, because there was reports and testimonies about all the things that had happened through his ministry. And this is a time with no texting, no email, no videos, no YouTube.
We say that because it's a hard thing to grasp for today's
really
generation.
Is. And so when you hear these testimonies,
trains and
you hear these testimonies, and you wonder, I'm sure they wondered how much of this was God, and you know. So this story goes that these pastors went to go see Smith Wigglesworth, and they wanted to see, okay, this source of power. And so he began to pray. He prayed often. He was praying in this room, and all of them said, "We're going to pray with Smith Wigglesworth." Mm-hmm. Well, as he continued to pray, the glory of God is just starting to manifest, mm-hmm. and it was getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And as the story goes, each minister, one by one, had to walk out of the room because they could not be in the presence of God as Smith Wigglesworth was praying.
Right.
The very last minister said he's going to stay here no matter what, and he was just hanging in there. As the story goes, he had to crawl out on his belly for dear life, screaming the entire time trying to get out the room, because it's just the power and the glory of God, and just some musical burglars were meeting God there in prayer. It's like,
wow.
They had to get out.
Yeah, dear Lord, that's what we want. I mean, you want to have that communion with God. And think about it. The only thing that keeps you or us from that communion is our choices. You know, what choices mm-hmm. do we make? And when you look at Smith Wigglesworth, he just didn't want to take in. You know, he didn't sit there and watch CNN News all day long and let them broadcast negative things over. Obviously, CNN News wasn't there, but the newspapers were mm-hmm. there, just, you know, whatever was happening. And you just can't let anybody just speak into your life. It's going to mess with your faith. It's going to mess with your confidence. And the Satan is really going to take over their tongue like he did with Peter and Jesus. I mean, think about this. That Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," right? He said, "Don't go to Jerusalem," is what Peter said. He said, "You almost tempted me." This is Jesus. "You almost tempted me not to do the Father's will." So if Jesus could be tempted by a conversation by somebody who allowed their mouth to be used by the adversary, if you sit and watch media whose mouth is totally taken over by the dollar, you know, that's driven by the dollar. Most of the folks are just talking heads and nothing against that. That's a way of delivering things, but they're reading a prompter. And that's all been thoroughly gone over by a corporate world. Will this match with our sponsors and mm-hmm. will our advertisers stay with us? And you're releasing doubt. They're releasing doubt into your life. They're not having it's a contactual, you know, faith base to it. I mean, even the secular media years ago would have This is what Rick Joyner said. Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries said. He said, I don't know if the Lord had revealed this to him. Obviously, he did, but how he got it, I can't remember. But he said, in the 50s, in the 1950s in America, that people didn't even know God, didn't even know him, feared him. But today, people who claim to know him have no fear of God.
Wow.
And it's like, that's not a good combo. That's not a good combo in regards to that.
We'll be right back.
I minister with a group of people that I just absolutely love, because all of us, we get tired, we want to quit every week, and we look at each other and go, no, let's go talk to some more people. I know we were all rejected yesterday. Let's keep going. That's what the body of Christ was supposed to do. We were supposed to gather together to stir one another up, to encourage, put courage into each other. And that's what this is about. Man, our prayer is that God would do something in our midst, that we really could walk away with greater courage.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights. But it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I just want to go right into a particular word that just came out from Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, talking about our need for an awakening. And what he says in this particular word is, Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, is that outside of an awakening, which we would call that a third great awakening, and for, we talked about that before, and hopefully that's a related article so you can actually find out what does that actually mean. But it basically means the changing of the DNA of a nation. It's just a shift that takes place. And he talks about, he says, outside of an awakening, we are on the edge of some radical things. He begins to explain them. He says, today there is basically four worldviews: the Christian worldview, the Islamic worldview, the secular worldview, and the Marxist worldview. And in those, that's exactly what we've been, you know, trying to educate our listeners and viewers about. But he ends it with specifically saying, after giving the details of all these different things that are going on, and the viewpoint is like, there's people in America that have all these different viewpoints, and in the world as well. But he says, without an awakening, that we are getting very close to an unprecedented violence in America. Unprecedented violence. And it's happening all over the world. You know, it's important to look at the Word of God, you know, and think about what Jesus said. He said, every nation, any nation divided against itself will fall. Any couple divided against each other will argue. Any family divided will fall. Any community divided will fall. There is no option to that. I mean, that's what happens. The thing is, we got to get united. The thing is that you got these four, you know, world viewpoints. Which one are we going to unite around? Are we going to unite around an Islamic view? Are we going to unite around a Marxist view? We're going to unite around a secular view? Or are we going to unite around a Christian view? Well, America originally was united around a Christian view. And so in the context of that, I mean, our laws come from Moses, you know, Moses' writings, and you know, we're just, you know, Jews and Christians launching a nation, seeking God's wisdom on how to be able to do what this great experiment, as they put it. And so that was the original viewpoint. And you can go back and look at the original tent to hear that. But understand that this violence that that Rick Joyner's talking about, and he's part of the Oak Initiative. You can actually find out more at theoakinitiative.org, but you can go to the VFNTV.com, click on the torch, and you can actually, we'll have links there for you. But we're in the valley of decision he talks about. We're in this valley of decision. And the Lord's begin to speak to me specifically about this one Islamic view of the world. And what it is you find people who push their view, you know, the people that feel confident that their view is the right view. And at one time in history, you know, in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. you had the Crusaders who pushed their view and across the world. They literally went out with physical swords and military and all that type of stuff. And you have the papacy today, you know, with their own cars and bulletproof nose mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And so it wasn't, you know, Christians are not separate than that. You know, but we've gone astray when we're looking at it in that context of just that we're not, the kingdom of God is within us. Mm-hmm. You know, Christians are not trying to establish their kingdom on earth. It's God's kingdom coming. Mm-hmm. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And that happens progressively. It don't happen through our hands. It happens through our obedience to him when he begins to fulfill his will, when all of a sudden, when he talks about it in Revelation, and we talked about it in the book of Revelation just recently, that all of a sudden there is a new heaven and a new earth. I mean, you're not going to, if these kings make war against Jesus, I mean, they're going to make war against anybody who physically tries to do something in the context of that. We're supposed to win the king's heart. Mm-hmm. That's what Paul did. Paul stood in double chains, standing before the kings, and he just talked to him. He said, I wish you were like me outside these chains. But the other mindset, if you're trying to force your view, your view and force, you can't force somebody in a relationship, but force somebody to have your viewpoint in the context of that, I mean, you're going to say, you know, get me an attorney. These people have falsely imprisoned me. You're not going to be witness unto the king. You're going to be caught up with offense and bitterness and resentment. And you're trying to sustain your life when Jesus said, unless you lay down your life, pick up your cross and follow me, you can't even have a part of me. It's a whole different paradigm. And we were listening to an interview recently to, you know, over in the Middle East, and they're saying, you know, why do you keep kidnapping Christians? I believe it was in Egypt. But why do you keep kidnapping Christians? And he said, because you don't fight back. Mm. You know, and we can actually, people will give money for you. You know, somebody, you know, it's a radical Islam, you know, somebody kidnaps them. It's like, wow, he's going to, you know, he's fixing to be rewarded in heaven. We'll see you up there, or down there, wherever it is. You know, but Christians are like, oh my goodness, you know, they got Susan. You know, and everybody starts coming together and they get finances together because they ransomed them to be able to get them out. So you're thinking about, would anybody get us out?
Yeah, right.
We got 75 cent. I don't know if it's going to happen or not.
Right.
But the whole thing, it's a different viewpoint. We got to be careful because you can start becoming exactly what you don't want to become and what God has delivered us from. You could be try to become the crusader type mindset, mm-hmm. and you're thinking, especially when people are saying this is a Christian nation, and I saw people pull, you know, guns out, mm-hmm. you know, citizens against citizens in the name of the Constitution, in the name of the law, and it's like, we're brothers and sisters, but that's not what we're supposed to do, guys.
Right.
And I don't know if they're Christians, but citizens. But knowing that what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to lay down our life. We're supposed to preach the gospel, that God's more powerful than all of that. But understand that there's some wrinkles in America. And one of the viewpoints that God has shown me about is that the difficulty and struggle that America is going through and going to go through is he's going to iron it. It's Jesus. I mean, he says very specifically in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27, it says, Christ loved the church. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water through the word, which shows you how important, how you get clean is getting in the word of God and abiding with the Lord, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemishes, but holy and blameless. And the Lord's just really, I mean, specific. I'm trying to, you know, he's speaking to me. And I'm thinking, Lord, what are you saying with this? And he showed me that America being under a physical attack. And when I saw just recently with Rick Joyner, who actually is with the Oak Initiative, which he established, which has, you know, all these former CIA and mm-hmm. all these generals and all
Green
the people
Berets.
That are watching. What's that?
Green Berets.
Yeah, Green Berets. And all the ones that know, you know, can logically tell you what's happening. Then you look at the financial situation where, you know, folks are, they're just printing money, you know, going, you know, $200 trillion, as we saw in a previous program that we had, and you could be charged 100% taxes for the rest of your life and it never would even touch it. And so the end result of this thing, I mean, but God is bringing us to the end of ourselves. I mean, we're just like a prodigal nation, you know, we would. And what happens is we're going to end up in a pigsty.
Right.
But if we come to our senses, we can return to God, and he's going to say, kill the fatted calf. You know, my prodigal nation has come back to me. But he's shown us, you know, shown me that that our Navy is going to be under physical attack. And it's going to be a physical attack. And it reminds me of John Paul Jackson. Hmm. This is just prophetic dreams. I don't know anything outside of this. But John Paul Jackson says, his prophetic prophecy was, where was the Navy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where was the Navy? And we saw an attack happen on the base up in Washington, D.C., the Navy base just killing our innocent citizens who are working there to defend us. But then he also showed me Islam coming in, the spirit of Islam coming in, and they were carrying irons. They were carrying irons. And how often, if you actually get in the Word of God, you'll find out God will use your adversary. He will use things out of control to bring you in control.
He sure will.
You know, and often he would use, you know, other folks to come in to discipline his own folks, to bring his folks to the place that he wants them to be. And guess what? After he finishes that, then he deals harshly with the ones that even thought about laying their hands on God's folks. But know this, I mean, this is totally confirms that. And I really believe, this is what I believe, God is ironing out some wrinkles. He's going to iron, this is going to get some wrinkles out of us, the church. This is going to get us some wrinkles and some blemishes out of us. And it's going to create in us, it's going to wash us to a place that he can bring us to a point again. That's kind of what the Lord is just showing me. It confirms it, what, you know, Rick Joyner is seeing with Morningstar Ministries, even with the Oak Initiative, how they said they can even verify these things taking place. But I just know that there are prophetic dreams where God is showing me. Well, I want to encourage you, prepare yourself. If you haven't yet gone to VFN TV and listened to Prudent Preparation, you can access it. There's a link on the front page of VFNTV.com. And it's part of VFN TV, and you can listen to it. And it just gets you to start thinking out of the box. You know what? I need to be ready to be ironed. I need to be ready for America to go through some times it's going to get out some rough places and get us back on the straight and the narrow road.
We'll be right back. Are religious materials allowed to be displayed in public schools? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
There's a Christian school which is receiving money for a More at Four program for age four, and the woman who issues the money or checks to see if everything's okay said she was not allowed to put up a poster about Jesus.
Not true, and I'll tell you where this is coming from. The faith-based initiative that the Department of Education is operating under removed those kind of what we called ridiculous barriers so that faith-based groups can provide after-school care in a Christian setting, because you'd have to remove the cross from the church sanctuary or never make a reference to the Bible, and that's just not the case. So the law is very good on that. That's a misreading of it. We'll get you in touch with our legal department, Michelle, here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and get you some help right away.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Amanda's story. John's going to be able to read us Amanda's story from Exodus Cry. We partner with, and I encourage you to partner with us, and we'll continue to partner with them, but also can partner with Exodus Cry. You can find out more at VFNTV.com and click on links. But you got to be able to hear this story, and then we're going to show you what they're doing.
Amanda's story. Why are you here? It was 2 p.m. when our team arrived in Villa Mimosa. At first glance, in this region of Rio de Janeiro, seemed almost ordinary. But upon further inspection, a sad reality became apparent. Behind the neighborhood streets, a maze of alleyways overflowed with a sea of men who were all there just for one purpose. In Villa Mimosa, women are for sale. Beyond the shadows of Maracana, Brazil's largest soccer stadium, dilapidated brothels house hundreds of women and girls. When we entered the area, we were greeted by Amanda and Gabriella. As we talked with these young girls, it would have been easy to put blinders and get lost in casual conversation. But as they told us about their families they left behind and their current lives in Villa Mimosa, the truth about their situation became impossible to ignore. With limited opportunities and a prominent cultural acceptance of sexual exploitation in Brazil, Amanda and Gabriela believed that Villa Mimosa offered their only chance of survival. Night after night in a cramped cubicle, they were visited by countless men. This endless cycle of exploitation chipped away at their dignity, these beautiful girls, and left them lonely and depressed. The chance for a happier tomorrow seemed distant, if not impossible. Later that night, we asked Amanda and Gabriela about their dreams in life. Gabriela's eyes lit up, and she described her hope to one day attend a school to be a hairstylist. Amanda smiled and shared her dream to her own small fruit stand. As we validated each girl's dream and talked about them and their personal worth and the light that God takes in each of them, their eyes were filled with tears. While we exhorted them with the truth of their beauty and value to the Lord, we could tell that this was a revelation these young women had never heard before, and an important fact that every woman and child living in bondage needs to be told. At one point, Amanda asked, "What are you doing here? Why are you sitting in this hell talking with me?" She explained that late night, Johns were the only ones who visited, and certainly no one ever seemed to care.
Johns being ones who purchased her.
Correct.
Child.
These honest words haunted us as we thought about the hundreds of thousands of women and children being exploited in Brazil who are never shown authentic love. Our conversation with Amanda and Gabriela revealed to us an urgent need, a calling for a people who will go to these places, serve as the loving hands and feet of Jesus, and find the ones who are trapped in exploitation and help them escape. They continue to write that this is why we've launched Liberate, our initiative to bring freedom to the oppressed in Brazil through prayer and outreach. As the World Cup descends on the nation this summer, Exodus Cry will partner with Brazilians to pray and fight for the lives of girls like Amanda and Gabriela. Through 12 houses of prayer and strategic outreach all across Brazil, our goal is to reach 1,000 women and girls and offer them avenues of escape and a refuge through local safe homes and church communities.
Think about 12 houses of prayer and rescuing 1,000 girls and women who the only person, the only company they get is the people who purchase them for sex, and they want to rescue them. This is so important. By you standing with VFN TV and the Data Radio program, you are standing with Exodus Cry. Take a look at this.
In Brazil, we call it liberdade. Freedom, liberty, loose from control, but still some don't know what it is to live in liberdade. Streets soaking in sexual slavery, doors decorated in incest, molestation passed down in the lineage of our families, hundreds and thousands of women and children exploited, sold, abused, and prostituted, given no other choices, no freedom of their own, roads overrun by the trafficking industry's dominance, our incredible culture overcome by brokenness. Generations existing fatherless, motherless, years raised in rejection have accustomed us to hopelessness. Many don't know that liberdade, freedom, is available to them. Though they know the word, liberty isn't something they've seen yet. With no message of hope, this nightmare in Brazil is repeated. Told lies of no future, no dreams, no identity, longing for someone to tell them differently. And that's where the love of God comes in, a father who is for them, the church as his hand and feet, showing a love that can restore them, knowing God's children are captive, we cannot ignore them, hearing that his loved ones are slaves, we can't turn away from injustice, instead we will stand together to be lights in darkness, to lavish compassion, to point to Jesus, and to walk together in true transformation. We will pray here. We will love here. For liberdade, for freedom, for restoration. We say yes, God, we will go here.
Totally awesome. We can make a difference. Stand with Exodus Christ. Stand with VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. We cannot sit idly by as the most wealthiest nation in the world that supposedly, according to others, that America's poorest is richer than 1% of the world's population, and not be there for these children and these girls whose only visitor is somebody who's buying them. That's the only touch they know is somebody that abuses them. And you can do that by standing with us, standing with Exodus Cry. And dear Lord, we pray, Lord, in human trafficking, in sex trafficking, free these children. And also, by standing with us, you're standing with the Underground Railroad, who goes out, ex-SEALs, ex-CIA agents, who go out physically and use all those talents to go and to be able to rescue them. And we can't sit by. They say one of the biggest times of abuses in this particular situation is during Super Bowls, during big sporting events, and mm-hmm. the World Cups. And they actually sell a room, they sell the tickets, and they sell sex slaves. In the whole package deal. And we've talked about that earlier. We'll make that available to you. But one way you can do this is to educate folks. Educate someone that even though this game is going on at the very same time, Amanda's story that John read to you is going on. And say, dear Lord, help us. They were so focused on a ball being thrown or a ball being rolled across the field or you know, somebody's statistics. We're not even thinking about the statistics, what's taking place. That supposedly reports are that 1 million individuals are involved in human trafficking, and the majority of that is the sex trade, and the majority of that is women and children. Also, I was speaking just recently to Aaron Leatherdale about you know, IHOP Kansas City, and this is where this was birthed out of, IHOP Kansas City, Mike Bickle. Orphan Justice was also birthed there. And Orphan Justice, you know, Maggie Leatherdale, Aaron's wife, that she works there. And this is a ministry that's so important because just, you know, praying is one thing, but you, half of your time has to be involved in justice. How, okay, you told me to have this child and not to abort this child, but where do I have this kid at? How do I parent? Or, okay, you told me no longer be in sex trade, but that's where I made my money. That's the only thing I've ever known. They told me this is the only thing I'll ever be able to do. Who's gonna bring me into society? Who's gonna father me? Who's gonna mother me? And there was a great segment that John did about spiritual fathering and mothering. Just a beautiful segment. You got to be able to hear that. Is understanding that that's what we do in the church. That's what we're supposed to do in the church, to be fathers and mothers, and to not only speak into sons and daughters, but they're gonna be brought up and raised up to be mothers and fathers themselves. And that's being done at Orphan Justice, a ministry that birthed out of also International House of Prayer. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.